Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 9 to finish at 23,848. S&P 500 down 7 at 2,605. NASDAQ Composite down 59 at 6,949. Russell 2000, the small and mid-caps off just a fraction at 1,513. Yield on the 10-year Treasury, down 1 basis point at 2.78%. Oil down 60 cents at $64.65 per barrel. And gold down $20.10 at $13.25.40 an ounce. Well, let's start with the good news. The S&P 500 managed to close above its 200-day moving average. That support level is held for 4 straight days. The 200-day moving average stands right at 2588, so we're just 17 points shy of today's close. Any movement below the long-term trend line would trigger selling, and it could get ugly fast. There is a good chance the S&P will continue to hover just above support heading into the end of the quarter. Next week, the calendar flips to April. The first 3 weeks of April are a popular time for companies to pre-announce their earnings results, and given the number of issues investors are looking for clarity on, including the impact from the recently passed tax bill, the prospect of protectionist trade policies, and whether management teams are seeing any sign of inflation or impact from higher interest rates, such announcements could prove pivotal for traders. The technology sector, which has recently been in focus due to the massive swings it has seen, could be particularly susceptible to volatility. About a third of April's pre-announcements are done by companies in the tech sector. Now, currently, the S&P 500 is about 9.3% below a record high hit earlier this year, while the Dow Industrial Average is down 10.4% and the NASDAQ is down right at 9%. Both the Dow and the S&P 500 are in correction territory, meaning they've dropped 10% from a peak and haven't recovered. The Dow's correction was one of its fastest such drops from a record in history. Facebook managed a small gain today, but it has been pummeled over the past 2 weeks, and it's not the only FANG stock feeling the pain. Today, Amazon dropped 4.4%. It's down 11.5% from its high just 2 weeks ago, which means that Amazon is now in correction territory. Despite the sell-off, the stock has still run up 20% over the past 3 months. Axios reported that Trump wants to go after Amazon with antitrust enforcement or by changing tax rules. Whether that happens or not, only time will tell. It's no secret that Trump hates Amazon. He has repeatedly tweeted how much he dislikes the company. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said today that the administration is not considering action on Amazon at this time. It's far from certain that Trump would be able to change laws to retaliate against Amazon. But remember that just 2 weeks ago, this was the company that's growing so fast that cities across America are throwing billions of dollars in tax breaks at it to lure its second headquarters. The company that muscled its way into the grocery business, dominates cloud computing, lords over online retail, and even wins Emmy Awards. In some ways, Amazon might serve as the canary in the coal mine. Will the stock continue to decline? Or was this just a buy-the-dip moment for a market leader? While much of the market attention has been focused on big tech and the FANG stocks, it's been easy to overlook the bond markets. The yield on the 10-year note has dropped to 2.78%, which seems like a long way from the red line of 3%. Bonds moved higher as a safe haven play as money moved out of the high-flying tech stocks. But that does not mean all is well in the land of debt. Case in point, Tesla. Last summer, Tesla sought to raise $1.5 billion in the bond market Demand to invest in the debt was so high for a company that was losing money, burning through cash, and falling behind on its production targets that Tesla was able to raise $1.8 billion. The coupon rate was 5.3%, a record low for a bond of its rating and maturity. Now, barely 7 months later, those bonds are fast becoming the poster child for excesses in the credit markets. Along with Tesla's shares, those 8-year bonds are slumping, falling to about 86 cents on the dollar and helping to drag down the broader corporate debt market, following questions about the company's businesses and finances following a fatal Model X crash in California. The cost to insure junk bonds such as those issued by Tesla against default has risen to the highest level since 2016. In hindsight, it's easy to criticize investors oppressed by a world of near-zero interest rates who participated in the offering and allowed Tesla to raise so much money at such cheap rates for a junk bond issuer. But the real issue is how vital confidence in the credit markets is to the financial system. And right now, there's little doubt that Tesla's troubles are contributing to a repricing of corporate bonds. Cheap financing for the really mediocre credit stories just isn't available, at least nowhere near the way it was as recently as the end of the summer. And don't forget, the Federal Reserve is tightening at a slightly faster pace and sounding just a smidge more hawkish under the guidance of new Fed Chair Powell. We haven't really seen corporate borrowing costs rise high enough to force businesses to rethink their borrowing costs. We're not there yet. And the Fed might continue to just plug along with all the excitement associated with drying paint. Now, there is a good chance that the recent pullback was slightly exacerbated by a squeeze on short sellers overly anxious for 3% yield on the 10-year Treasury. Those positions have been unwinding over the past week. The selling pressure in the bond market looks like it is under control for now. There's little doubt that Powell would prefer to fade the Fed put, the idea that the Fed will always act as a backstop to the markets. So all we've really heard from the Fed is not much more than jawboning the market. For now, the economy looks strong, so a hawkish tone is easy. More difficult is tightening policy further without inflicting real damage. And that brings us to the yield curve, which is flattening. Let me explain. In general, short-term bonds carry lower yields to reflect the fact that an investor's money is at less risk. The thinking behind this is that the longer you commit funds, the more you should be rewarded for that commitment, or rewarded for the risk you take that the borrower may not pay you back. Now, this is reflected in the normal yield curve, which slopes upward from left to right on a graph as maturities lengthen and yields rise. Since 1990, a normal yield curve has yields on 30-year Treasury bonds typically 2.3 percentage points, also known as 230 basis points, higher than the yield on the 3-month Treasury bills. That's according to data from the U.S. Treasury. Now, when this spread gets wider than that, causing the slope of the yield curve to steepen, long-term bond investors are sending a message about what they think of economic growth and inflation. When the spread narrows or flattens, it means that we might be getting closer to a recession. The flattening yield curve signals concern that the Federal Reserve could be hitting the brakes on the economy so hard that it inadvertently puts the U.S. into another recession. The yield curve narrowed to nearly the smallest point since just before the Great Recession. The 10-year bond is trading at only 50 basis points more than the 2-year bond. People are worried that the Fed will keep tightening us into an accident. An inverted yield curve, in which longer duration bonds yield less than short-term ones, well, that often signals a coming recession. We're not there yet. It might not happen. But the flattening of the yield curve is sending a message. Usually, when the bond market and the stock market disagree, the smart money sides with bonds. And the message from the bond market is that the economy is not quite as robust as the stock traders might imagine. The yield curve is not a great predictor of recessions. The yield curve went flat in 1998, more than 2 years before the next recession. Same thing happened in early 2006. Relatively flat yield curves are not terrible for stock market returns, but flatline and inverted ones, well, they are bad. Even if that's not the case this time, the flatter yield curve is bad news for banks, which pay interest on short-term rates and lend at long-term rates. Investors are betting that the yield curve won't be a problem. But if it continues to flatten, the stock market's recent bumpiness will most likely continue. Late word here, Veterans Affairs Secretary David Shulkin is expected to resign soon, and Trump will likely nominate his personal physician, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, to succeed Shulkin. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 9 to finish at 23,848. S&P 500 down 7 to finish at 2,605. And the NASDAQ Composite down 59 at 6,949, with the Russell off just a fraction at 1513. And once again, the yield on the 10-year at 2.78%. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, text, audio, free podcast, and much more at eatthebankers.com. Want to retire early? Hi, I'm Sinclair Noe. Let investment property experts show you how. IPX is now offering 15% returns to investors in real estate development projects currently underway in Rocky Point, Mexico. It's one of the hottest growing tourist spots in the Southwest. Just a 3-hour drive from Phoenix and you're on the beach at Rocky Point's newest 5-star destination, the Esmeralda Luxury Resort Condominiums. Early retirement is closer than you think when you're earning 15% returns on investments in gorgeous Rocky Point, Mexico. Start putting your money to work today. Start planning that early retirement. Visit azipx.com or dial hashtag 250 keyword IPX, hashtag 250 keyword IPX, or visit online azipx.com.